hearty fraternal greetings and good wishes to all the brothers and sisters. Over the last 3 decades, we have established a rhythm and a ritual of meeting in Germany. Likewise, many other rhythms are also established, like your coming to India, your moving around in relation to group lives, to various parts where the teaching is happening. It's an activity that has set in us a commitment to the hierarchy, whom we adore and to whom we pay our homage. If we are meeting again and again, and if we are carrying out certain rhythms of prayer, meditations, study of the teachings of the noble ones, and if we are consistently moving out, crossing borders, which is very symbolic, to assimilate the wisdom, it has amply demonstrated the commitment that is being shown to the hierarchy that we follow their example and that we accept the brotherhood of beings, all beings, not only humans, and that we are here to serve the surrounding life, not merely oriented to receive from the surrounding life. In fact, the teachings of hierarchy enable us to gain greater measure of light. As much light is gained, so much concurrently the related responsibility is incurred. The more you are able, the more you are held responsible to discharge those abilities to the benefit of the surroundings. In the path of the hierarchy, serving the surrounding lives takes to priority and it stands in priority to self-seeking and self-realization. Self-seeking and self-realization is a dimension which has to be supplemented with offering the life to the benefit of others. These two constitute the two parts or the two wings of one bird. Self-seeking becomes a selfish activity insofar as the the related light gained is not shared into the surroundings. That's the reason why we have the fundamental of meditation, service, and daily study of teachings as a triangle which we try to embark upon. Meditations or prayers are regularly done. Study of the teachings are not so very regular as meditations. Service to society is yet to manifest in a tangible measure in all the groups of world servers. There are as many as 5,000 groups all over the planet who receive the inspiration of the teachings of the masters, and they try to practice for self-enlightenment. And the self-enlightenment is concurrent to the service to life that surrounds us. Greater measure of light demands greater service. The service should tend to be a global service, a planetary service. So whichever way we contribute at the ground level to the benefit of the beings is what is the key that holds our self-enlightenment. At the end of the day, which also means at the end of the life, this incarnation, at the end of the day, which also means the end of this incarnation, one question would be asked from within, because the one within is outside also. The master within is the master outside also. The energy within, the core energy, is also as much outside. A question would be posed as to what have you done today? What have you done today? Likewise, what have you done for this incarnation? It's a question that has to be answered. If the answer to that question remains in the air, then your practices also get into thin air. Go back, do your work, and come back would be the normal answer. Every activity of gaining knowledge shall have to be alternated with an activity of service which is grounded. Just like every inhalation should necessarily be followed by an exhalation, isn't it? We take in air and we have to give out the air that which we have taken. When we have taken in the one who is omniscient, omnipresent and omnipotent, it is him whom we breathe as we breathe in. We need to breathe him out into the surroundings. That's why to receive is only to give. To receive is only to give. There is no second reception of air without release of the air that is already released, already taken in. Can we breathe a second time in? Can we breathe in a second time unless we had breathed out what is already breathed in? Can we go on eating without defecation? Simple question. Can we go on eating without defecation? There is a point where the mouth refuses to open itself. Likewise, you cannot drink, go on drinking without urination. You cannot go on drinking without urination. The urge to drink is alternated by urination. The urge to eat is alternated by digestion and defecation. The urge to breathe in is alternated by the urge to breathe out. Breathing in and breathing out holds the key for our moving into higher circles. Breathing in and breathing out, it holds the key for higher circles, which is given as a step in yoga, as the fourth step in yoga. The fourth step in yoga is meant for the fourth kingdom, which is humanity. The fourth kingdom is humanity: mineral, plant, animal, and human. The fourth step in yoga is yama, niyama, pranayama, followed by prap. Yama, niyama, asana, followed by pranayama. Unless pranayama happens, there is no internalization, which is called pratyahara. Pratyahara. Pratyahara means drawn within. Only when you are drawn within and deeper within, you can encounter the light in you. We regularly invoke in the evening, "May the light in me be the light before me." We are all very sure that there is light within us. And we should be able to contact this light within us by dipping deep into our own being. To dip deep into our own being, the method given from ancient most times is to take to the inhalation which leads you inside. All beings pulsate. According to Veda, the animate as well as inanimate beings pulsate. The pulsation in the inanimate can be seen only through insight and vision. The pulsating in the animate can be seen by our general understanding or sight. Today with the revelations coming from science, we know how much activity happens even in the atom, which is where there is also a pulsating principle working out as complementary with electron, neutron and proton as the base. Therefore, there is this activity of centripetal and centrifugal forces in us. And it is very relevant for us to get to this dimension relating to us. We only know how to use the mind, the senses and the body to relate into the outer world. We have not yet learned the method of applying the mind upon respiration and taking a dip into our own being, whereby we enter into a column of light where you can meet the inner man in you, who leads you to his original. We the men with mind, we live an outer life with the help of the mind, senses and body. The same mind can be turned inward by application of that mind upon respiration, where it develops a subjective mind which has same faculties as the objective mind. It requires to be developed. We all developed the objective mind starting from being kids. Initially, with great effort, we have learned to use the eyes, the ears, the tongue, the smell and the touch. We have learned to use the legs. We have learned to use the hands. The outer equipment is well handled by the one who is within us, who is called the inner man. We need to meet the inner man who is expressing himself out every morning. Every morning, it is the inner being that expresses out. When it expresses out, we feel we are existing. But even when it is not expressed, it is there within us as our own being. We do exist in sleep hours. Only after there is the consciousness, we know that we are existing. Before that, what happened to us in the sleep? What did we do in the sleep? How were we in the sleep? What happened when we went into sleep until we have come back from sleep? This is a matter of great inquiry of all seers, to find what is it that is within, which emerges by the day and merges by the night. That is what we need to know, that something from within wakes up and we feel we are awakened, and then we get into our busy activity in the outer life, not knowing the very purpose of our awakening, not knowing why are we to be here. We take for granted as we wake up that we have to go and have our breakfast or have a cup of coffee and do routine things. But there is something which is awakening every morning, And that something is within us as ourselves, which is called the inner man. This inner man is himself, according to the seers and according to the scripture, is an image of another being who is within us and around us. The inner being is but a mirror image of a being who is within us and around us. That being is whom we call the Master. When we say Master Namaskaram, we are offering our attitude to align with the one being who is within us and who is around us and who mirrors himself in our own being as ourselves. And this mirrored being, he keeps on functioning in the outer life. The inner being, he continues to live even after one incarnation. The outer being is terminated by this life. There is a terminable activity with each one of us. As life concludes, that activity concludes. We again come back, taking to a form, developing the form. But for what have we come? That's not known. For what have we come? And are we doing for what we have come? From where have we come? We are all busy doing some practices, no doubt, over the last 3 decades. Many, many, many practices. Full moon meditation, new moon meditation, Dhanishta meditation. So many astrologically important days for meditation. For what? For what are we doing? To know who am I and to know what am I to do here. To know who am I and also to know for what have I come here to do. For what have I come? Why are some are born in Germany? Why are some are born in Spain? Why some others are born in America? Why yet others are born in India? There must be a purpose. If we are born in a particular place, in a particular community, in a particular family, and if we are born as male or female, there must be a purpose, isn't it? To know that purpose, we associate with the masters of wisdom. But having associated with the masters of wisdom, should we not know that purpose and fulfill that purpose is the question. We, like parents, every morning we sing from the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. Who are the masters? Masters are those who know the very purpose of their being. And we are trying to align with them so that we also know the purpose for which we have come. We should know the very purpose for which we have come here. Recently in Iguazu informed our groups the very meaning of the word Kuthumi, a word which we very frequently use, Kuthumi, Kuthumi, Kuthumi. Kuthumi is the master who asks every person that visits him a question. He asks a question. కుతోహం హిసెస్. కుతోహం మీనింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ హ్యావ్ యూ కమ్, ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ హ్యావ్ యూ మే సే ఐ హ్యావ్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ హ్యాంబర్గ్ ఆర్ ఐ హ్యావ్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ మ్యూనిక్ ఆర్ ఐ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ మిన్స్టర్. ట్రూ, బట్ టు మై హ్యాంబర్గ్ ఆర్ టు మ్యూనిక్ ఆర్ టు మిన్స్టర్ యూ హ్యావ్ కమ్, యూ నో దట్ యు ఆర్ బార్న్ దేర్. బట్ వై డిడ్ యూ, ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ డిడ్ యూ కమ్ దేర్, ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ డిడ్ యూ కమ్ దేర్, ఫర్ వాట్ హ్యావ్ యూ కమ్ దేర్? It's a matter of common sense that if we go to any place, we know for what we have gone there. If we are all here in Bilerberg, if we are there in Bilerberg this evening, we know for what we have come, isn't it? And we also know where we will go after the group life. We're all fairly sure where we go after the group life. Sunday afternoon, no one is here. Friday morning, hardly there were any. So you know from where have you come, and you know what you will do here, and you know where will you go after this activity of group life. Likewise, Master Kuthumi wants us to know from where have you come to, not Bilerberg, but into this incarnation. From where have you come? We all know that we did exist in the womb of the mother before we are delivered into objective world. We also know that we have landed upon the sahasrara of our fathers. And through the father into the womb of mother we have entered. But from where have you landed upon the head of the father? What has been your previous activity? Unless there is a purpose for your being born in Germany or Spain or France or America or India, why would you be born? And why are you born as male and why are you born as female? Do you know these are all our choices? There is no one who arranges these things. Up there, there is no one who arranges that you shall be in a female body, you shall be in a male body. It's not like that. It's our choice. It is by choice we took to a gender. It is by choice we took to a nation, it is by choice we took to a community, it is by choice we took to a family, a parents. Yeah. If we make an inquiry into it, then you trace back your being to know the purpose. So even today it is the question of Master Kuthumi. He only asks those who say that they are his followers. His followers have to answer three questions. From where have you come? Number one. Where do you wish to move next? What for have you come here? This has to be contemplated. Contemplate. By sheer contemplation, things reveal. By sheer contemplation, things reveal. Not by thinking. Thinking puts you into the same rounds, like rodent round the mill. Thinking, 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 thinking. You move like a rodent round the mill. But if you contemplate, it is like getting deeper into your own being. When you go deeper into your own being, at the first depth, you know that you do exist without all this. In the second step, you know that there is an inner life. In the third step, you know that this inner life is but part of a great life, which is not only planetary, but also solar and cosmic. So in three steps we can experience what we are, and what for have we come, and what are we to do here. To know that, the best key given by the scriptures is astrology. But how to learn astrology in its proper way is another question. Astrology, there are many teachers teaching many dimensions of astrology. But not all can really give the inner dimensions and lead you into your own being. They give only outer interpretations about your objective life. To lead you into your own being, there is a process. First of all, for us to turn inward, we need to close our Libra. To turn inward, we need to close our Libra, says astrology. Libra means going out through the navel into the objectivity for nothing. For nothing. It's a habit that the mind goes out all the time. All the time it goes out. Like a wandering dog, it keeps on moving outside. Isn't it? What does a wandering dog do? If you let off, it keeps on moving. Such is the mind. And it keeps on looking through the five, gathering information through five senses. Through the five senses. And we have many facilities to go out. Earlier we are using the five senses. Now we are using such apps to know what is happening in America or what is happening in Australia, what is happening in China, what's happening in Russia, the football games, isn't it? It gives you extended vision, extended information, and slowly we are more and more getting stuck to these facilities and tend to be much more in objectivity than into subjectivity. It's a facility which should be used according to purpose. It cannot be just used because it is there. It's a facility. There is water kept here, just in case I need it. But because water is kept here, I don't have to drink it. Isn't it? The mind which is so much accustomed to objective activity, leads your energies into objectivity. That's where Libra opens in its completeness. In its completeness. When Libra opens in its completeness, there is no way for you to get back from objectivity to subjectivity. Pranayama is a technique given by the master of yoga as a means to close Libra. Meaning, not to move out into objectivity, not to move out into objectivity unless there is a purpose. Not to move out does not mean physically, it also means mentally. Sitting at home, ఇఫ్ యూ కీప్ ఆన్ థింకింగ్ అబౌట్ ఆల్ వరల్డ్లీ థింగ్స్ వీఆర్ అవుట్ సైడ్ ఓన్లీ. Therefore, this technique of pranayama has become such an important technique for man to turn inward and to know that there is a happening in him without his doing it. We all believe in doing things, but all our doings are on the basis of a happening which is within. Your awakening is a happening. Your pulsating activity is a happening. You are not doing it. Your respiration is an activity that's a happening. You are not doing it. Respiration, pulsation, awakening, these are all inner activities on the basis of which we have an outer activity. If you are not able to respire, all outer activity is suspended. If you are not able to pulsate, all is gone, nothing is there too. If you have not awakened in the morning, these three questions, if you had not awakened in the morning, if you have lost the pulsation, or you are not able to breathe in and breathe out. If these things are gone, or any one of them, if it is gone, you are gone. Your outer activity has no meaning. Outer activity is built upon this inner activity. Outer activity is built upon this triple inner activity. It is in this inner activity the inner man is posited. To realize him or to know him, to know yourself, first you have to shut the door where the mind gets always into objectivity. That is called Libra. That is the reason why the scriptures say Libra is indicative of the fall of man, isn't it? The serpent descended down the tree. Thereafter, it started crawling on the earth. We may not be crawling on the earth, but we are walking on the earth. Isn't it? A shade better that we are all with earthy things, though not crawling with the belly, but walking on earth. But we have possibilities not to be crawling on earth, but to move vertically and even fly. So these possibilities can be gained only when we associate with the technique of pranayama. Technique of pranayama cannot be really accomplished unless there is adequate demonstration of service in the outer world. That is why many times when we inform about pranayama, people listen well, but they cannot accomplish it. They cannot accomplish it. Pranayama means prana regulated. Prana regulated means your respiration and your inhalation and exhalation, it culminates into pulsation and you experience the resonance of pulsation in the heart center. That pulsation further in your, through your observation, finds itself into subtle pulsation, where you are withdrawn from objectivity into deep subjectivity. That's where you see how things are happening more than you are doing. This dimension, if I don't know if you remember, but I clearly remember, I have spoken to you all in Hammerstein. Now, the Hammerstein is one of those primary or preliminary seminars we have had near, what is that town? Vermeskirchen is okay, but there is another town with R. Ramshad is the place where we spoke on White Lotus. And near to Varmaskarshan, we did at Hammerstein. Two group lives. In the second group life, I have spoken about experiencing the state of pranayama. Experiencing pranayama. Thereafter, many times it is spoken. Many times. The purpose of pranayama is to turn inward. And your mind, which is accustomed to objective activity, does not let you turn inward. By habit, it only turns outward. It has to be given a new habit of turning inward. If you turn inward, you have another dimension relating to you which opens in you. If you don't turn inward, that dimension is not opened to you. We are three in one actually. We are three in one. There is the Master, who is Universal Master, of whom we are the image as the second dimension, and that image has the third dimension of expressing outside. So from being an outer man, we need to turn into an inner man, and being an inner man, you can relate to the Superman. That's how the whole game is. For that, the technique given is pranayama. To experience the three in one, pranayama is helpful. Though the technique is given, not all can accomplish. Not all can accomplish. It is given many times. It is given in many books. Not only by me, but by many masters of wisdom. But it cannot be even attempted because the mind is hopelessly conditioned by objectivity. It requires time to sit within yourself. It requires time to sit in oneself, turn inward. You took Buddha how many years to turn inward? No man could ever realize without turning inward. No man turned out to be a son of God until he started turning inward and moving inward deeper into his own being. The purpose of discipleship is to turn inward and to relate to the one in whom we live, we move and we have our being. But turning inward itself has become a huge task. Turning inward has become a huge task. That's where Buddha decided, let me turn inward and see what it is. 2 years ago in Billerbeck, I closed the session with that statement. Please turn inward, that's the only way. That's the only way. If you turn inward and make journeys in an inward manner, you don't need outer books. You don't need outer teachings. All is known from within. Even before the books were there, there were people who realized, and their realization they have written, which became our scriptures. The scriptures did not come first. The beings align themselves, that is the first activity. No person ever became a master of wisdom by reading books. By reading books, no one has turned himself into a master of wisdom. By reading himself slowly, things opened, things revealed, he came to know. All that he knew, he has put out either on a leaf or on a paper. So we need Finally, to take to the fourth step of pranayama, to turn inward and to turn upward. Unless you turn inward, you cannot turn upward. You cannot move upward. Turn in and move up. It's like our going to the lift, getting into the lift. Then the lift can take you vertically. If you stand before the lift, it doesn't take you up, isn't it? You have to get into the lift and then press the button to move up. Likewise, there is a way to move in and there is a way to move up. As you keep moving up, vistas of knowledge open to you. As you keep moving within, moving up, vistas of knowledge open to you. And they are all given afresh to you. You don't get a carbon copy of a book inside. It's a fresh revelation, which is similar to the revelation of the one who preceded you. It is similar to the one who preceded you. Like the travel you make when you come to Belarbak, we have similar stations that we touch. Those who come from the north, they touch similar stations from the east, from the west, from the south. Each time you travel, you have different experiences, but not the same. And every traveler has a different experience of his own travel. So also the inner travels, you have the freshness of your own experience, first-hand experience, a maiden experience, which we can share with others. See, the mystery of man is within him, is within his heart. Looking for the mystery elsewhere doesn't work. And therefore, being the fourth kingdom on this planet, we have to adopt the fourth step of yoga, which is pranayama. And pranayama relates to the fourth element of the five elements, that is air. Air is the element, fourth element, matter, water, fire and air. Air leads you to space. Air also stimulates enough fire. Air purifies water and earth. Air is the perceptible divinity. It is only one element which you cannot see, but you accept that it is existing. You can see this sky, you can see fire, you can see water, you can see matter. You cannot see air, but you don't say, there is no air. Existence of air cannot be denied, though it is not perceptible. That's why air is said to be the direct presence of God. The direct presence of God. Namaste Vayu, Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi, Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishyami. Like that we utter. Verily, you are the direct perception of God, because I know that you are existing, though I cannot see you. Among the five elements, air has that special quality that it can only be perceived while it cannot be seen as such. So relating to air and that activity which is of air, which is happening in us, we stand the chance of turning subjective and moving upward. And relating to this dimension of yoga is not possible unless there is some fair demonstration of service in the outer world. You cannot be released from the outer world unless you have discharged yourself from the outer world through some service or the other. there is a debt, there is a karma, there is a karma to the planet, karma to the plant, karma to minerals, karma to animal, karma to humans. We incur so much karma, drawing so many things from so many people. So they draw you back again. You want to sit quiet and meditate, then rings the phone. Isn't it? Draws you. You are drawn by karma. So karma clearance, the key to karma clearance is tangible service. Clear. What is due from you? To the mineral, plant, animal, human. This clearance is needed. So on one side, keep on turning your life into a life of service. And on the other hand, keep on turning inward to realize within. These are the two dimensions. Until the first dimension is fairly demonstrated, the second dimension will not open. That's what I want to tell you. Will not open. So we have to open the dimension in us of entering into the heart, moving into subtle pulsation, moving upwards, realizing knowledge afresh and experiencing the self, by which Gemini is also closed. Two sun signs have to be closed. When Libra is closed, I spoke many times to you how to close Libra. When Libra is closed, Virgo Scorpio becomes one sun sign. So it becomes a zodiac of 10 sun signs. When we close Gemini, Cancer Taurus becomes one sun sign. Then we become a zodiac of 8 sun signs. The one whom we call the world teacher. The one whom we call the world teacher or Lord Maitreya or the Christ is the one who holds a zodiac of 8 sun signs in him. Not 12. Not 12. He doesn't have the passion of Libra. Nor does he have the duality of Gemini. Both are close. Two airs are closed by following the path of air. Can you imagine? Aquarius, Gemini and Libra are the triplicity of air in zodiac. If you close Libra, if you close Gemini, you are left with Aquarian air, which is only in the head. When you are beyond the bro center, there is no duality. When you are beyond the diaphragm, there is no passion. You can relate to objectivity through Libra. You can relate to world through its duality, but they don't condition you. Neither passion of the world conditions you, nor the duality of the world conditions you when pranayama is practiced. So therefore I thought we shall start with something which is the foundation for our journey into the light. So with that I have taken an hour's time. I looked at Gunta before speaking. He said, take it easy. So I took it easy. So it's now 8:30. We continue tomorrow. Thank you for your very dear presence. We are all so accustomed to each other. We are so accustomed to each other that it is becoming difficult. It's becoming difficult not to meet, isn't it? But we also will learn the new habit. Thank you. Namaskar.